Morning, everyone. So our reading for this morning is taken from James chapter 1, and it's verses 1 to 17. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glorify in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. The flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning.
Let's just start. Thanks, Esther, for reading the verses. See where we go with it, shall we? Trusting in the Lord for this morning. He does speak even in the business of our lives. It's that we just draw nigh to him, offer up our spirit to him in our lives, and he can just sometimes just whisper in, and that can be for all of us, can't it? James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tried to look up a little bit about James. He had a few nicknames. Let's just start with some of his nicknames. I don't know if you're aware of them or not. James the Just. Isn't that a great name to be known as, James the Just? The other one was James the Stalwart, which is basically Mr. Reliable. He was ever so reliable. He was stable. Does the church need that now, men and women that are just strong and stable in the Lord Jesus? It wasn't just so much about the doctrine that he said, but it was the life that he laid down and lived. And if you just read about how he actually died as well, still to the end, he just laid his life down to the Lord Jesus. James the Just. The other one was Camel Knees. Someone may have said, if you heard that before, Camel Knees. And this was, I don't want to go into the detail too much, but really it just echoed his prayer life. He had kind of calluses on his knees where most of his life he was down on his knees praying for lost souls, praying for the church in Jerusalem, probably praying for those that were dispersed all around the Mediterranean. Isn't that significant for us in these days? If we can't get out and do the things, man, we can get down. Let's get some hard skin on knees, shall we? Precious Lord, there's three nicknames. They're not really nicknames, really. They're just characteristics of James. He was a just man. He prayed a lot. Wonderful. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. This is the great dispersion where they actually, under persecution, they kind of went out. But it's the second time it happened. I think it's about 500 years beforehand it happened. But this time they were spread out. And they went round the areas of the Mediterranean. There were almost more Jews outside of Jerusalem than there were inside. And these ones that were practicing Christianity, they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was a dispersion. Interestingly, at the same time as when the Lord was around, the Romans were very clever and they built roads. And you kind of think about, how did the gospel spread so much? Well, thank you to the Holy Spirit, firstly, but also the practicalities of it, which this book is so much about, was that there were roads that were built, the gospel went out. The Mediterranean, all over the place, also language. More Greek was being spoken. You could speak to someone in the street about the Lord Jesus. What excuses do we have these days? I don't think there are many with all the different ways in which things could be communicated. But the dispersion went out. We also, I think, are dispersed, aren't we? We don't kind of congregate just in one place. We're in different... I mean, I just think about the people that are with us this morning. Wonderful. By the way, we are so blessed to have you with us. I've heard little bits of the saying that they're very blessed to be part of us. We are so blessed and encouraged that you're with us this morning and have been. Thank you. Lord, work in your places. Here we go. Profiting from trials. This verse next, it's just stuck with me. I can't get it out of my mind because it's very paradoxical. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Whew, James, what a start to a letter. Usually there is a very brief greeting. It just says greetings. But usually there's kind of a little bit that Paul does, a little bit of a greeting where it says, blessed are the Father, thank you for my thoughts are with you. James goes straight into it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Can I just say that one word that speaks to me there is when. It's not if. If we believe as Christians that we can just keep away from the certain trial, it's unrealistic. Can I put my hand up presently in trials? And basically it means pressurized situations. Closing in. You're getting squeezed from different sides. So how do I find the joy? How can I stand here and say it's a joy? Well, one thought is this. This is another long word. Am I allowed to say another long word this morning? You'll be shocked. Eschatological. Oh my goodness, I knew that was going to happen. I've been practicing. No, I haven't been. When you read joy in this verse, you've got to have a picture of when the Lord comes again. And he is coming. I've heard it in the meetings when we've met together, also in other churches that I've listened into, where my parents are, that there's almost this thing coming up, the Lord is coming back. Those here, maybe today, and those listening in, even guests that maybe have joined us, you'll find that there will be trials. But the real joy in it is knowing that the Lord is coming back. You're in a relationship with him. He keeps us. Isn't that wonderful? So it's when, it's not if, you fall into trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Just a comment on that. Man, do we live in an impatient world? Very much an instant society. Instant gratification. I find that the Bible is just so, it's so clear on it, that it actually kind of in some ways highlights how the world is so much in these days, and that is, it's so instant. There's something wonderful about this. It's like a journey. It's a thing of you're on your knees and you're getting those calluses and then you're up again praising. Then you're down again. It's that thing of all that time you're just building this wonderful perseverance. The Lord is working in our lives. Just a thought on the beginning again of James. He could quite easily have introduced himself as being maybe the half-brother of Jesus. You know, there are quite a few James written in the Bible, but this one, and brother of Jude. He could quite easily come out and said, I am very close, I am half-brother. Can you see, even from the beginning, there's a humility there? I think that's why he had this sense of being a just man. He was fair. He was humble. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I think we get sometimes a bit twitchy about the word perfect. You know, another word that I love about it is wholesome. Very closely linked, I think it just brings that wonderful picture of a wholesomeness. the Lord Jesus can come into a life which he does by grace and can bring a wholesomeness. Isn't that wonderful? My notes, not even gone to it. Let me just say a little thing that caught me. I was reading about Hudson Taylor and I was reading about his wife. This is just in the context of going through trials, tribulations. And she was at the end of her life and she was very unwell and her sight actually went in the end. And let me just quote it here. She said this, Hudson Taylor's wife, she went blind at the end of her life. Somebody asked, "Why should God do this to you when you have served him so faithfully?" "Oh," she said, "he's putting the finishing touches to my character." I find that wonderful. That for me just brings that joy. That whatever you're going through today, even if you've not yet even responded to the Lord in your life and you're tuning in this morning, oh, can I just say, go for it. Further down the chapter, the Father of Lights, he can come and illuminate your life and shine into the darkness. He can then turn your trials into joy. Why? Because you know that you're going to see him one day, that he's coming back. This in some ways isn't just about illness. We often think of trials, we almost kind of limit it just to our physical frames. It's not just that, although that is a huge thing. But just some context, it was a little bit about those that were dispersed. They were basically kicked out of Jerusalem. They had to set up and start up in a dispersed, in a foreign land. A lot of it was the Mediterranean. They had no work. This is why this is such kind of a real practical, it's basically a practical righteousness book. How to live rightly. So they were dispersed and these people, they had to find work. That's why many of them went into kind of tent making. That's why many went into setting up banks, which is why now, even now, with the Jewish, there's still links with high in the banks. Kind of, and it really spoke to me that their persecution was different. It was this thing of they were actually having to start up from afresh. Had nothing. And one of the things is that they started to kind of lax a little bit on what they believed because they were getting polluted by those that were around him. And this is one of the trials that we will face now. We must be lights. We must be. Let's go on. Wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The Lord doesn't hold a little book there saying, "Oh, I've looked at your past mistakes. I think I'm going to hold back a little bit on this wisdom." He doesn't. There's no reproach. He doesn't keep like a list of things. That's wonderful, isn't it? Even today we can approach him and say, "Lord, would you give us wisdom?" Even as a body here, as we meet together through different ways, Lord, give us your wisdom. Give us wisdom for tomorrow as I face university or school or college. Give me wisdom with the person I've got to talk to and feel like I need to share my testimony. Give me the right words. Wisdom is not just knowing the truth, it's actually then living out that truth. This is why this book has really grabbed me. Not just hearers, but doers. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is coming from a man that was very stable. But the Lord doesn't give up on us, does he? Like I said before, I did try and read this for encouragement. But man, it keeps coming out with these. There's no messing about it. One of the things that breaks my heart at the moment is hearing hearing things where it's just made to feel and sound very nice, but it's moving away from the truth, and that is what the devil is after in the church in the West, I believe. Let's go on. Conscious of time. The rich and the poor. Both will have to go through trials. When I was reading this, I was thinking, man, you can have as much wealth as you want in your life. You can be poor and homeless on the street. It doesn't negate it. You'll have to go through it. I was thinking about where trials are from. Basically, there's trials and there's temptations. I've been thinking about that. We often blame God for going through a hard time, don't we? Do you find that for many? Sometimes people are quite, this is even people that actually claim not to believe God, but they're quite quick to come out and say, well, God, look at what God does in the cause of a famine. How could, these are the kind of questions that come up and you have to kind of answer. Big, big questions. How do you do that? Trials. I think the Lord brings these trials in our lives to prove our faith. It's that place of testing, isn't it? But it says later on the Lord doesn't come and bring temptation. That's true, isn't it? Can you see the difference there, that the Lord almost brings us into trials in our life, in our daily life, and he wants us to pass the test. He really does. When, last year when I had to sit some exams, I did feel in the mind, the Lord wants me to pass this. I had to almost tell myself. He doesn't want me to fail it and then do it again. And I actually felt in faith that, yes, Lord, I can pass this. But the devil, he brings temptation and he wants you to fail. That is, I know that's very simple, but that's the way I've looked at it. Trials for the Lord. He comes and does bring trials. He allows them, but he wants us to pass it. And he's there with us, helping us. In it, there's joy. Temptation starts with that little desire in your heart for something that's, maybe it's something left over from your old life. It starts with a desire. Then the devil's there, and it's almost described as a birth. It's like a pregnancy thing that's in there, and it germinates. And then, can you see that difference? But the devil wants you to fail in it. And across the land now, the devil wants Christians to fail. He does. But we, amazingly, can find joy in the trials that we're in. Joy. If it's in the school, the Christian school, if it's in our workplaces. It can even just be amongst us in a church. Maybe there's, we're trying to work things out, they're not right, and then we're trying to navigate through. Oh, the Lord, even in that, can just bring a sense of joy. I sensed it this morning. I didn't sing, but my heart did. I thought I heard some humming. But there was something in there when you sing together, that joy of the Lord Jesus is coming in. And just being offered up to him again, it helps us in our trials. Remember, I was going to say that long word again. No, I'm not going to go there. But always remember the last days, the end days in joy, okay? Set your mind on things above is a verse, isn't it? We often bump into lampposts. We need to sometimes keep looking up. And let's go on, whether you're rich or poor. It has no regard to trials, we still go through it. Verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. When I thought about the crown of life, I thought of Stephen when he was stoned. Stephen, I think it's Stephanos, isn't it? Which means crown. Isn't that wonderful? Stephen, right on the last, when he was being stoned, he said he stooped down and worshipped. In that, I kind of wondered, I just pictured almost the Lord coming down and saying, oh, Stephen, I love you, Stephen. Here's your crown. Come with me. I receive you. Wonderful. That was his trial. That was his persecution. When I read these verses, there's something about longevity. There's something about the daily grind, the daily walk. Just knowing the Lord Jesus. Trials can come in quite quickly, but often they're just attritional. And in that, there is where the Lord does our testing ground. He's with us. And you know, we can help each other. One of the things that we often, I don't know if it's just a British thing, but we don't like to say when we're struggling. Often if you're asked, oh, how are you doing at the moment? Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, not too bad, thanks. underneath that comment often can be, I am struggling. I'm struggling to believe in this situation. I think there needs to be almost a new, like a breaking down of some barriers. Throwing ourselves on the Lord Jesus. We will all have temptation. There is always the option to get out. Do you know that verse when he says flee? I've always sensed that whenever there is that thing of a desire and the devil comes in and there's that temptation, he always gives that, it could just be that little window to get out, to flee it, flee the youthful lust, you know? Wonderful, the Lord, amazing grace, he gives that little window. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. That's wonderful, isn't it? I think we often, I don't say we here, but there is a blame often straight away to God when, if we could see what he went through in his own suffering, and what he went through with a trial, man, the blame would just disappear. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. James comes straight in there again with one of those, boof, in the tummy. This is the kind of language that I do believe people need to hear. If not, how, in some ways, if you do evangelism, what are you evangelizing with? And what are you evangelizing people to? I've really questioned it. If it's something that's going to be kind of a nice, boxed up, pretty kind of thing where you can come in and, you might just need to kind of say a few things, but your life can still stay the same. There's going to be prosperity. You could even become rich and blessed by it. Health and wealth. It's absolutely wrong. Then what happens is that nothing really changes. But then they start learning the lingo. They start learning the words to say. Then comes a trial. And they get a little bit, not like James, stable, reliable. But there is hope. In some ways, when I speak, I don't want to just almost point the finger. I don't. It's almost, I just want to point the finger up and say, Lord. Just want people to really come through and know him. Precious Lord. I'm coming to the end. I want to come back to James. I want to carry on in James. There's something about almost, I started to read Jude, and then I saw that Roger was doing little daily snippets of Jude, and I thought, oh man, I think I better change. I better do. So I went into James for encouragement, and it was like, oh, I kept getting hit in the gut. But can I just recommend it? You don't need to do it for someone just stood here. Just in a daily thing, just a system of reading. Trying to understand what James was like. I found out a lot about James as to how he died. Tempted right at the end, but he wouldn't. He wouldn't give in. Let's just finish on a note here. Let's just go down to verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let's just leave it on a reel. Here's what the world will do. It will absolutely cram your mind of noise. It will want you to speak very quickly into a situation without thinking and praying about it. And it will also, in some ways, all the things that you see on the news is the anger. Even politicians, it's the anger there. It's gone into the realms of sport. There's an anger there. There's a quick. It's everything opposite. It's a swift to hear. That means you might need to unblock it by stopping doing something to actually hear. We have two ears, one mouth. Work out the ratio, wasn't it, someone said? Yeah, twice as much hearing and then a little bit less talking. That's really helped me. I'm not at all pointing the finger out there, but it's true, isn't it? Just have these amazing ears just to hear what the Lord's saying. Quite a few times I've been stopped in my tracks and not saying something. I've felt like I had the right answer. But then they have that little check inside, don't you? The Holy Spirit just... No. Just hold up. Hold up on that. But this morning, if you're tuning in, time is gone. If you hear the wonderful gospel, it's the word of truth, then these things here, the Lord can actually just work in our life and actually... in some ways, just kind of give that opportunity for response. That's wonderful. We all heard it at one stage, didn't we? We all heard the truth. Slow to speak, sometimes just shh. Slow to wrath. Precious Lord. After that, it goes on about being doers, not just hearers only. This book is so practical. I'd recommend reading it. Let me just finish. I'll pray now and we'll finish just to close. Lord. Lord, we just want to say thank you. Lord, thank you that we all face trials, Lord, and temptations. But as we sung earlier on, we can sing that song, "What a Friend I Have in Jesus." Lord, James was such a good friend of you, almost as a brother. Lord, we too, Lord, can know this wonderful intimate relationship with you. Lord, if we have our ears open this morning, maybe just taking that step of faith. Lord, and in our trials that we go through, Lord, we do count it joy. Knowing, Lord, that you are coming back again, you're here with us. Precious Lord. Lord, we love you today. Lord, we trust you for the week ahead. Amen.